Well, no matter what I say today, I already know it's not going to be nearly as much fun as it was last week saying it with Pastor Elijah and Pastor Sally up here with me. And I think at some point we'll need to assess this whole you can juggle thing. With all of that in mind, I hope we still muster along together on what's called the post-Easter slump Sunday in the pastoral world. So you've all been exceptionally good about not asking me how my gym membership is going. Thank you for that. Feel free to please continue not asking me. But here's my quarterly report. I've basically been sore the day, 2 to 3 days after a workout for basically 3 months. But apparently, it seems that there are appearing small biceps out of thin air. Thank you. Hallelujah to that. I'm starting to get what all the fuss is about exercise. And just to be clear, if I wasn't clear in January, an activity I adamantly have avoided my entire adult life. And not to get too dramatic about it all, but I'm going to. One day, as I was pushing my way on the rower, thinking that I was going to faint, I had this sweaty epiphany of sorts. See, I'd spent my whole life in a body that only understood exercise as a means to physical perfection as a woman, as determined and articulated by men. And listen, I'm a decent enough feminist, I think. I've read enough over the years about the male gaze and its effects on the female form, about body positivity and self-love. This really should not have been much of an epiphany for me. But as I was on this rower, did I mention about to faint? I started to say out loud, with each row, I'm sure to the surprise of others in the gym, I want to get stronger. I want to get stronger. I want to get stronger. And there it was, the truth, the unfiltered, unmanaged, untamed truth, buried under years of misogyny and guilt. I want to get stronger. Bursting past anyone's judgmental gaze, I want to get stronger. Bellowing out from the corridors of shame that kept me from ever trusting my own body, I want to get stronger. I wanted to feel what it was like for my body to be able to do things I didn't think it could do. I found the tiny part of me in there that wasn't doing this for some body ratio requirement or long-held family expectations about what I should or shouldn't look like. I was doing this to feel connected, alive, and in touch with myself. But it wasn't until I actually experienced that in my body, with my body, that this truth could ever surface or even matter much at all. I told y'all I was going to get dramatic. I know there's plenty to still problematize about exercise, who has access to it, based on income and status, how it disproportionately shames women, why we stand around in rooms staring at ourselves in mirrors when there's a whole world of exercise outside. But sometimes, even problematic spaces give us deep revelations about ourselves and the world around us. Church folk have given poor Thomas a hard time over the centuries. I mean, the term doubting Thomas has evolved to describe anyone who exhibits skeptical or naysaying behavior of any kind. Like, it's a colloquial phrase, doubting Thomas. But what's so bad about Thomas needing to see and experience Jesus' resurrection with his own body, his own eyes, his own hands? What's so bad about Thomas needing to see Jesus offer his own body too? The world has a lot to say to us about our bodies, about the particularities of our bodies, and where they are allowed to be and not be, and what they are allowed to look like or not look like, and how they are allowed to function based on all those particularities. The world sure has a lot of power over our bodies, over how we see our bodies, whether we hate or love our bodies, over how we live inside our bodies. But I wonder what would happen to us if we spent more time thinking and talking about the truth that each of our bodies has to tell us. Because they do have so much to tell us. Volumes to tell us about what makes us strong and vulnerable, about what makes us beautiful and brave, about what makes us desire and be desired, about what brings us joy and what lets us release grief. The body has so much truth to tell us if we'd only believe that it does. In the coming weeks, as we gather during Eastertide, that just means the Sundays that follow Easter Sunday up through Pentecost, we're going to lean into the mystery of what it means for Jesus to keep choosing a body to experience not only earth, but heaven too. Jesus could have returned as anything imaginable, probably some things we couldn't even imagine. And yet, of all things, Jesus dared to come back from the grave of violence and death as the very thing that got him there in the first place, a human body. Jesus chooses the very thing the world thought it had power over and could control and manipulate and ultimately destroy, only to find out that April Fools, it's Easter and the body ain't finished yet. So we're going to spend some time imagining together what the mystery, here comes fancy theology word, of the incarnation and the resurrection has to say to us. The mystery of Jesus being Word made flesh. The mystery of what it means for our words to be made flesh. We'll lean into what it means for God to want nothing more and nothing less than the wholeness of our full embodied selves. What truths live inside your full embodied self that have been waiting to come out? Ooh. Let me do that one more time. What truths live inside your full embodied self that have been waiting to come out? What wounds are you longing to name and see so that you might believe in the power of the resurrection? If you witnessed a man trained to believe that sharing emotion is showing weakness, if you saw that man expressing with his body that his vulnerabilities are not something to be ashamed of, but to be praised. Would you believe? If you witnessed a queer woman expressing with her body that she celebrates who and how she loves, would you believe? If you witnessed a black or brown child expressing with their body that their skin conjures the celebration of 1,000 ancestors, would you believe? If you saw a whole world full of people who love their bodies as much as God loves the body, enough to choose a body for the rest of eternity, would you believe? No doubt about it, our bodies carry the reminders of the violence inflicted upon us. Jesus' hands and feet and side carried the marks of that violence forever. So we never forget. So we never pretend. So we never act like wounds aren't real. And the bodies that bear them don't live with the effects. And when we think about the compounded trauma that many of our bodies carry, the work ahead is far from easy. For many of us, the work to shed all the voices that have taken hold of our bodies and claim them from us is a process that can last years. A lifetime, really. But don't you feel like Thomas sometimes? He needed to cry out to God. I need to see those wounds on a body that actually made it. I need to see those wounds on a body that death and violence could not contain or maintain or define or control. I need to see the truth that only the body can tell. Thomas needed the truth of the body. He needed to see a wounded Jesus, a wounded healer, as Henri Nouwen coined it in one of his first books about what it means to be a follower of God who would dare choose a human body in all its frailties as her deepest expression of self. Second century Christian Saint Irenaeus described it this way. Here's a little poem. The tender flesh itself will be found one day, quite unsurprisingly, to be capable of receiving, and yes, full capable of embracing the searing energies of God. Go figure. Fear not. For even at its beginning, the humble clay received God's art, whereby one part became the eye, another the ear, and yet another this impetuous hand. Therefore, the flesh is not to be excluded from the wisdom and the power that now and ever animates all things. God's life-giving energy is made perfect, we are told, in weakness. Made perfect in the flesh. Now, it's easy to misread this central theological claim that the body matters even in its woundedness and accidentally, or not so accidentally, build a whole theology around the idea that our wounds are sacred. So let me be clear. They are not. Violence inflicted upon us is not sacred. It is the antithesis of sacred. It is an abomination of the sacred. But our wounds transformed by resurrection power, our wounds transformed by love, our wounds transformed by our own belief in the possibility that they can be transformed. Now that gets at the heart of what it means to be Christian. Because even though the world sure puts on a good act to make us believe that the body doesn't matter. We know it does. See, if the body didn't matter, we wouldn't tell women they're too fat, too thin, too pretty, too ugly, too loud, too quiet, in order to keep them focused on fixing all those things instead of celebrating the minds and spirits residing in their wondrous bodies. If the body didn't matter, we wouldn't enslave some bodies for our own economic gain, refuse certain bodies access to things like healthcare, tell certain bodies they're only allowed on one side of the border. If the body didn't matter, we wouldn't tell certain bodies who they're allowed to desire and love and share passion and joy and life with. But see, the body does matter. The body has always mattered. And the body will always matter. This is the mystery of our faith. God bless us. That Jesus, full-bodied and alive, would dare to walk out of an empty tomb, not as an angel or apparition, but as a person. Bearing the marks of his story and suffering, Jesus dares to say to us, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." It'd be so easy to doubt that if God overcame death, that God would have any desire to keep living inside a body. But do not doubt, dear friends. Believe. Believe that the God of your body and the God of my body and the God of everybody refuses to give up on anybody. This is the wildest truth our bodies tell. Even as they age and struggle and seem to fail us, if we'd only just believe. And with Thomas, we proclaim, "Señor mío y Dios mío," my Lord and my God. So today, I pray you cry out to the God of resurrection at your workout, in the store, in your house, on the street, here at church. I want to get stronger. I want to get braver. I want to get kinder. I want to get clearer. I want to go deeper. I want to live like my body matters. I want to live like everybody matters. I want to live like nobody is left by the wayside. I want to live like you lived, Jesus, with my whole beautiful, breaking body. Amen.